Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition, rolling into the happier happy hour. I know lots in the audience, you're happy because you're going to a big Al Franken show, a sold-out event at the Barrymore Theater. Al, a recent guest here. We were too successful, Don. We sold all the tickets too quickly. They didn't even have to buy more ads.
Nice.
I welcome my little buddy Dominic. Welcome back, Dom.
Hey, happy Friday, Crudy.
And we got a fine guest right from the top. He is the Democratic Party of Wisconsin chairman. He is Ben Wickler. We welcome him back. Ben, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates.
Hey, Ben.
Great to be with you today.
Hey, I understand, Ben, you're from an undisclosed airport location, man. I hope business or pleasure, Ben.
Business. We're going to make sure we have everything we need to stop Tim Michaels from turning the Wisconsin state government into a personal corruption factory.
Well, that's quite interesting. Before we really, really dive into the newly jumped into the pool on the Republican gubernatorial side, I can tell you who seems very, very scared. I've started calling her Big Lie Becky Clayfish. As soon as Michaels made his announcement, Ben, I'm sure you took note. Clayfish, as if she wasn't radical enough, she is taking a new tact, rigged elections. I hadn't heard her go quite this far. I think this change has got to be a reflection of fear of the Michaels campaign.
The thing that's kind of scary about radical Rebecca Clayfish is that whenever she has a concern about her political future, she lurches further into the right-wing fever swamps and further away from the U.S. Constitution. And, you know, she went from acknowledging that Biden won to now saying that the election was rigged, and she doesn't know if she would have certified the 2020 election, and she's refused to say whether she would sign a bill that would allow the 2024 election to be overturned by the legislature. I mean, if you imagine Donald Trump putting in the call that he did to Brad Raffensperger in Georgia, where he said, "You got to find me 11,000 votes." Imagine he's calling Rebecca Clayfish. She would pick up and say, "How many votes do you need, Mr. President?" There's zero chance in the world that she would have the willingness to stand up for a principle to defend the people of Wisconsin against someone who wants to be a tyrant for this country. And that by itself disqualifies her. But nonetheless, she's going to keep running and running even further into the far reaches of constitutional oblivion. And we've got to stop her.
Well, Ben, I would have said she's the clear nominee for the Republicans, at least before the entry of Tim Michaels. You mentioned him from the top. Let's talk about this billionaire in the making. Comes from, you know, a rich family, apparently. They're in the construction business. And as you alluded to, Ben, he basically wants to keep doing business with his family, wants them to bid all the big governmental contracts. But the governor would literally sign those contracts. So if he were successful, no one could be more conflicted than Tim Michaels signing deals with the Michaels Corporation.
It's stunning. And, you know, his campaign launch ad showed a picture of him as a child with his dad at the construction site, you know, with the big construction equipment with his last name on it, because his dad started the company 60 years ago. And then at the end, he said, "Wisconsin needs a self-made businessman." We're just like, okay, if Wisconsin needs a self-made businessman, then which candidate are you referring to, dude? He's somebody who, you know, was born in it with a silver shovel in his mouth and believes that he, you know, he got himself all the way there. The Michaels Corporation does, you know, all kinds of work all over the country, and it's a major, major contractor, including in the state of Wisconsin. And he's now saying that if he personally divests himself, his brother's the CEO. He was the vice president. he stepped away to run for governor, and now he's imagining that he's going to be signing off on contract after contract for his brother, who's he went on talk radio and encouraged said he would encourage his family business to keep bidding for contracts with the state. It goes way beyond what we saw with Donald Trump, because Donald Trump's it's not like the Trump Corporation is the main is one of the biggest contractors for federal government contracts for one of the biggest things it spends money on, but road construction. I mean, Tony Evers has paved enough roads to drive to Denver and back, and the next president, or the next term of the Evers administration, or God help us, a Michaels administration or Clayfish administration would be here while tons of infrastructure dollars are poured in through the federal bipartisan infrastructure bill. So there's going to be a lot of road construction, and the idea that the person signing off is someone whose last name is on the on the construction equipment is it's so un-Wisconsin, a state that has prided itself on clean government. It's disqualifying too.
Ben, let me ask you about this Michaels campaign launch. Already the airwaves, Righty Whitey Talk Radio here in Madison, they're filthy with ads for this guy. And he talks about turning Madison upside down. But before we talk about this, I'm not exactly sure what it means, sort of branding. This was the least successful campaign launch since like Brad Schimmel. I mean, this guy let Tommy Thompson make his announcement for him, forgot to fill out the paperwork. And other than the fact he's got millions of dollars to spend on advertising, this is not exactly how you roll out a successful campaign. And then someone told him, tell him you're going to turn Madison upside down. Ben, you've done a little political strategery. Who should get fired for that one, and what does it mean, sir?
So he is trying to claim that he's somehow, an outsider. But he's been personally a giant benefactor for Republican politicians, including the Walker administration. He was the ultimate insider. He was the Republican Senate nominee in 2004. And in a year when the state came down to less than 1% in the presidential race, he got walloped at I think, 11-point win for Russ Feingold in that Senate race. He's a guy who's been at the heart of Republican politics for more than 20 years. He was on Becky Clayfish's board of her 1848 project. So he was advising the other candidate for, one of the other candidates for Wisconsin governor on her policy platform, which, we've yet to see whether he didn't just cut and paste it into his own campaign. But this is a guy who's, a big money donor, big money government contractor, right up in there with Republican politicians, has been a failed politician, statewide candidate twice himself, now claiming that he's going to change politics in the state and that he's, his self-made businessman who's going to divest himself from the company that his brother runs. Great. It's so flimsy. It's like a cobweb posing as a brick wall.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That is Ben Wickler. He is the chair of the Democratic Party in the state of Wisconsin. Ben, always a pleasure to speak with you. But I got to push back just a little bit, and I'm not fond of the Republican politics, especially these days, but what is a guy like Michaels supposed to do? If he says he's going to divest, what else would you like to see him do in order to be, quote-unquote, qualified to not be encumbered with, some conflict if he were to become governor? What's he supposed to do, Ben?
I mean, if he wanted to really avoid any conflicts of interest, I guess he would say that his family's company wouldn't bid on contracts in the state. But that wouldn't be good for the company. It wouldn't be good for the workers who work on those projects. It wouldn't be good for the state of Wisconsin. He just shouldn't run for governor. The only reason why he's running for governor, it seems like, is that he would like to have a position of political power, like he has tried to do and failed to do multiple times before. It's not like there was a draft Tim Michaels movement flaring up across the hills and dales of Wisconsin. This is a guy who has had a long time interest in acquiring a political office and saw his chance, so he's going for it. But that doesn't mean any of us should take his candidacy seriously.
Ben, I want to get your take. Elon Musk, obviously, in negotiation, has an offer to buy Twitter, and he tweeted out yesterday that he strongly supported Obama for president, but today's Democratic Party has been hijacked, I tell you, Ben, by extremists, according to Ben Wickler. Now, never mind Derek Van Orden, a candidate for Congress right here in the state of Wisconsin, went to the insurrection and has apparently been not entirely truthful about his actions. But what's your take on that? I mean, I've kind of evolved over the last 10 years to more in line with the philosophy of the Democratic Party. But what do you take from a guy like Musk, who has a lot of followers and a lot of influence, describing the Democratic Party in that way?
you know, Joe Biden has come out in favor of a tax that would require that billionaires pay their fair share of taxes. And for Elon Musk, oh my goodness, the Democratic Party has gone so far to the left, even though the overwhelming majority of Americans agree that it makes all the sense in the world. The Republican Party has supported the violent overthrow of the government of the United States. It's, you know, the Wisconsin Republicans want students to bring guns to school in their cars in the school parking lots. They're talking about complete and total bans on abortion, even horrible cases of rape and incest or things that threaten life of the mother in some places. They're trying to ban books. The Republican Party has fallen off the deep end on the right. And the GOP's main strategy seems to be trying to, you know, come up with scare tactics to divide people and make people freak out about, you know, this or that issue of the month that they invent, when the core fight in American politics is whether a tiny group of ultra-rich people should have any accountability to anyone, should be required to pay back to the society that helped them become incredibly wealthy by paying their fair share or not, and whether we should actually, you know, help people afford the cost of living and be able to send their kids to great public schools and drive on paved roads and get health care when you're sick and need to see a doctor. That's the fundamental question in our politics. And whether you're white, black, or brown, or you live in a rural area or a city or a suburb, we all need the same basic things. And for Elon Musk's politics, he doesn't want to pay a dime to ensure that everyone can get the basic necessities of life. So I get that he has now become so rich that he is no longer seems to have anything to do. I mean, he wants to go to outer space, so apparently he doesn't care much about what happens to those of us still on Earth. But that doesn't mean that the Democratic Party's left him. That means that he is in high altitude orbit now instead of down here on the ground with the rest of us.
New polling out this week, Ben, last 30 seconds or so. Ron Johnson, not a very popular incumbent in the state of Wisconsin. Ben, what's going to take to beat him?
So it's interesting. It's very similar. It's pointing out something really striking that he did, which he just admitted. He used his power as a senator when he had the power to shape federal policy. His number one biggest achievement as a U.S. senator was to insist on a specific tax provision, a massive tax cut for himself and his biggest donors that gave the middle class almost nothing. And we are going to hold him to that, and he's going to pay the political price for it.
Ben Wickler, don't miss your flight, or at least don't blame it on the devil's advocates. We appreciate you joining us for a few minutes from an undisclosed business traveling location.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks so much, Tom. Thanks so much, Greg. Take care.
Have a good weekend. More Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back.
The Devil's Advocates. Never personal, only politics.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Friday. Join us, air your grievances. Toll free, 844-967-2789.
Want to thank our most recent guest, a fine one, Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party, great state of Wisconsin. Hope he has a successful and safe flight to some business location. Hope he's doing the Lord's work out there. Yeah, you think he's going to get a check at the other end of that flight?
Doesn't he always? I mean, that's what Ben does really, really well, is raise money for the Wisconsin Democratic Party.
Do you think he flies coach middle row, Bernie style, back in the back?
He's kind of a tall guy. He may have
business.
To get up front
you think
bit.
He's yeah, a business you know, class guy?
Just a little more.
I hope the Democratic Party can splurge, considering the size of the checks he's probably collecting. I hope he gets business class at minimum. I know I appreciate it. Although when you and I fly, it's usually back in the back and circus, baby.
Spirit bus, you know, seats don't go back.
Sorry, luggage is extra. Dom had a little fun earlier in the big program. As mentioned, Al Franken in town tonight. I know lots of people are excited. If you want to tell us about it, let us know. 844-967-2789. I also, you know, have been scheming ways to get banned from future appearances on Foxy News.
You could just say no.
While the audience, but think about it this way, man. I asked Ben Wickler when he joined the Devil's Advocates. I get mad as hell when Ben says, no, I'm too busy, man. Anything except the Devil's Advocates, right?
He never says that.
Well, he is very cordial in accepting my kind invitations. But, you know, we're sort of in this media biz. And I feel like, you know, when someone calls, because I make that call so many times, you almost got to answer the call.
Well, I understand your point in that regard, but also who is making that call certainly factors in. And as critical of you as you have been historically with Fox News and Rupert Murdoch.
Me?
I don't know
what you allude to.
Why would you accept the invitation? You wouldn't go on OAN. You wouldn't go on.
I would go on WISN. I would go on Righty Whitey Talk Radio. I have. I call in. I stir the pot. You know, that's just how I entertain myself sometimes. Same reason guys like Lou and CJ call us.
All right, but what is if it's not OAN, it's not Newsmax, and it's not, you know, what is the difference then? What's the differentiation?
Audience size.
Really? That's it?
And you know, I think Jeannie from Eau Claire called in before, and you know, I said, Jeannie, here's the problem. You know, maybe if they paid me. You know, the worst I've ever stuck Fox News for was a car service, right? That's the most I've ever gotten out of it, a comfortable ride to the studio. And in Vegas, I didn't even have that. They wanted me hitchhiking across highways, if I recall. Yeah, you'll figure it out, Crudy. You know, just go back to the industrial park across two highways. It's close to your hotel, though, so you'll find it.
You're right.
But, you know, I did point out I am something of a media whore. So if Fox News actually paid me, then, you know, I might keep coming. But I'm not a media slut.
But you're not getting paid to show up, right?
Well, no longer.
So you're kind of giving it away for free, which kind of makes you a media slut.
Well, I'm not going to be a media slut for Foxy
anymore.
Anymore. Last time. It's like breaking up with the ex.
First
last time.
Free. Second one's free. No more free.
844-967-2789. Against my better judgment, Lou from Cudahy, welcome back.
Hey, Lou, what's happening?
It is against your better judgment, but, you know, facts matter. You know, if Biden rescinds his Title 42, he's going to have something like 18,000 illegals coming across the border, and he's already admitted.
I think it's bad policy, Lou, but let me agree with you for a second. Give me a second. I think it's bad policy. But I think it would be disastrous for Biden to roll it back right now, because guys like you would never let us hear the end of it.
1,500,000 since he took office. So he's importing a standing army of military age males who can take up arms against the United States.
What? Where did you hear that? Was that on OAN or Newsmax last night?
You got to facts matter, Lou. Where are you getting those facts? Where are those facts coming from, Lou? I want to hear the million military-aged men. Where are they coming from? Where's your source on that?
500,000 since he took office.
What's your source on that, Lou?
These guys are military-aged males.
Facts matter, Lou. Where are you getting your info? I'm just asking, man.
Go look around. Find it on the
internet. Do your own research on YouTube.
Yeah.
Here's what I will say. There are plenty of immigrants living amongst us. Some of them have immigration statuses that don't make them legal citizens of the United States. But Lou, we had a pollster on this week, Charles Franklin, and he gave us the latest snapshot of the opinions of Wisconsin voters. And your neighbors, Lou, they like the immigrant population, and they think that they should be integrated into our broader Badger society here. 64% of them think that we should make them all citizens, Lou. The 1.5 million or whatever you said, dude, I mean, you've got to know some immigrants in your life, Lou. You ever met harder working people? Really? I mean, think about it. You ever met harder working people than someone that came from a different country for the prospect of a manual labor job to try and improve their life, the life of their family? I mean, who do you think's running the dairies in the state of Wisconsin? Guess what, Lou? I tell you what. Watch the streets of Milwaukee on Sunday. Voces de la Frontera, they're going to march the Latinos out. It's going to be a day without Latinos. And then they're supposed to do it again on Monday. They're going to go to the Wisconsin State Capitol. They're going to do a little, you know, rally in the Capitol Rotunda. Don't be shocked if you got 25,000 or more people marching in the streets. And that's just the ones that could get out of work. Because you know what? They're working here. They're making the cheese. You don't get no cheese curds without the immigrant workers. You know, let's embrace them, man. Let's stop being so short-sighted about immigration policy. And I'm not advocating for open borders, but there's got to be a middle ground, Lou. You know what I mean? If you and I both like the immigrants because they work real hard and we just want them to have a legal status and integrate them properly within the tax codes, we can do that. The will is there, man. And if you can't see the wisdom in that, well, you're the problem, Lou. I'm not the problem.
And who's hiring all the immigrants, Lou? A lot of Republicans, I think, are kind of involved in that process as well. They wouldn't be here if it weren't for the jobs, if it weren't for the exploitation of the immigrant workers. So, yeah, they should be on paper, and it should be an efficient process.
There wouldn't be a Trump Tower without the exploitation of immigrant labor. Mm. More devils. We'll be right back.
Wisconsin.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition, rolling through the happier happy hour. Still time for your calls, though. We'll get you home safe, or get you to the party safe, more likely, knowing this audience. 844-967-2789. Dom, I've taken note and lingered on the fact that I'm going on Fox News Sunday, 12:20 Central Time. Make a note of it. Watch if you must. But they, you know, they've given me a smorgasbord of possible topics. And you know my intent. I'm going to see you this weekend, a bunch of our college roommates. My intent for Saturday is to get hammer drunk.
Great.
Just make sure, you know, I hydrate every couple of rounds.
Hey, man, you're a grown-ass man. You can take care of yourself.
Well, a friendly reminder would be appreciated.
Yeah, well, I'll remind you when your head starts bobbing around. I'll let you know.
Well, that could be good. If it's early enough in the evening, I could sleep it off and get drunk, hammer drunk twice. But anyways, then I got to get up and go on the Fox News. And I came to realize, Don, there's just way too many topics that they could throw at me. You know, I can't possibly prepare for all the topics, so I'm just going to burn it down, drop the mic, walk off set, something. Watch for something completely random, perhaps. But here's something I didn't know. Fox News, when the president used to appear on the Foxy News channel, specifically with Maria Bartiromo.
Oh, yeah.
She fed him all the questions before he came on the program.
Well, if you were a journalist, that would probably be somewhat objectionable. But the good news is, Bartiromo and Hannity, they're not journalists. So they're just basically shills for, you know, the Republicans.
Well, Fox News said pretty much anything on the website is fair game for the conversation. And what are your talking points, Mike? And I'm thinking, where would I give talking points? I'm not going to sit down and give you talking points. And if I had talking points, I'd save them. I'd spring them on you on the air live, you know? So I've got a few talking points in my head. If I can remember them, I'll have to do like Sarah Palin.
You write them on your hand, Palin.
Yep. That's exactly what that is the only, because I've told you it's a dark studio, bright light in your face. You can't even see who you're talking to. I thought maybe a visual aid, like Sinead O'Connor style, I'd just tear up a picture of 45 on the air.
Come on, man. If you keep going back, I mean, if they're not going to pick you up, they can at least give you a monitor, man. I mean, come on. What, you got to talk to the wall? I mean, we do this radio show and we still get to see each other. They can't hook up a Zoom? I mean, come on, man. What are you getting yourself into? Here, sit in this dark room and take a beating from the Fox News host, and thank you very much.
That's the way it goes. Apparently, they worry if they give you a monitor that you'll fixate on the monitor. So you have a monitor, like I could see them right until the interview starts, and then they turn the monitor off because they don't want me like side-eyeing the monitor the whole time I'm on. So I've never had a monitor.
Oh, so they don't treat you like a professional. A good reason to go back. I mean, they keep insulting you, man. I don't know why you do it.
Man, I keep insulting you. We've been doing this show going on 10 years now. Before we get back to the phones, we'll get there next at 844-967-2789. Your Friday grievances, they can be aired here, you know, between here and the weekend. But, Dom, the text from Bartiromo to Mark Meadows, the questions for the Foxy News interview, you know, Trump was expected on. In brief, hi, the public wants to know he will fight this. They want to hear a path to victory, and he's in control, wrote Bartiromo to Meadows. One question, how many times this election is rigged, and that's in all caps. And the facts are on your side. Let's start there. What are the facts? Question mark? What are the facts? Well, they never really got around to explaining the facts, did they? Characterize what took place here. Then I'll drill down on the fraud, including the statistical impossibility of Biden's magic. Please make sure he doesn't go off on tangents. I mean, that's what they'll say about me on Fox News. Hey, no tangents, son.
All you can do is ask.
Please make sure he doesn't go off on tangents. We want to know he's strong. He's a fighter and he will win. This is no longer about him. This is about 4 question marks. Like, what is this about? What is our talking point? A little bit more here. I will ask him about big tech and media influencing ejection, as well as toward end, I'll get to Georgia runoffs and then vaccines. So basically laid out exactly what was coming in what order. One last sentence here, Dom, maybe two. This is very close to the actual first question Bartiromo posed to Trump in that interview. He replied, "This election was fraud. It was a rigged election." I could he says that in response to damn near every question, though, doesn't he?
No, how is it that Bartiromo will do that for Trump, but you can't even get more than a, hey, look at our webpage, and that's what the options are to discuss?
Well, they did actually send me like 10 hyperlinked articles.
10. Okay.
But that's a lot of homework, man. You know I'm not doing the homework. I'm not reading the indictments. I'm not doing the homework. And if anything really good or bad in the case of Fox News, they'd just bump me anyways. You know, if Trump got indicted early Sunday morning, they would call off Sunday Foxy News. They'd play reruns of testicle tanning with Tucker Carlson.
Well, who doesn't want to see that again?
Let's sneak at least one caller in this segment. There's still time for your calls. 844-967-2789. Why, it's Gordy Kopke, our pal from Kopke's Greenhouse. How you doing, Gordy?
Hey, Gordy.
Hey, how you doing, boys?
Good.
Hanging in there, man. All tanned up and everything.
All right.
Just below the belt. You know what I'm saying, Gordy? Didn't want to have low T for the Fox News appearance.
My biggest grievance is the damn rain, man. Last week I had to change my pants 3 times while voting for Farmer's Market, and I thought, wow, this is going to be a great day. Yeah, I had to go get my rain jacket, so I'm getting ready to do Farmer's Market here.
Gordy, did I hear you change your pants 3 times a day?
No, just last Friday, because I don't know if you remember the weather, but I won't forget it. It poured the whole time I'm trying to get my truck loaded.
Can I offer you an alternative, Gordy? Try no pants. Then they never get wet.
It's a little chilly, though, sometimes in Wisconsin.
Yes, it is. But our greenhouses are open. The parking lot was full today, so
nice.
We're moving in the right direction.
Gordy, you moving down to the farmer's market tomorrow morning?
Yeah, I'll be there. But before 6, I got to be in my stall. So
before 6? There's a 6 o'clock in the morning, Gordy?
Yeah, there is a 6 o'clock in the morning. Yes, sir.
The only time I've ever seen it is like at the tail end of a rager with Dominic.
Well, in my younger days, I was like that myself.
Gordy, where can people find you at the farmer's market, my man?
Right on the corner of East Washington and the square on Pinckney. I've been there for, this will be my 42nd year on the corner.
Oof. Wow, man.
Gordy, I got to assume getting up that early, man, you're probably not going to go get hammered drunk at the Al Franken show at the Barrymore tonight.
I was so wishing it was Saturday. I would stay up, I would go on Saturday, Friday night. I can't anymore. My younger days I used to, but now that I...
Gordy, I got a plan for you. After the farmer's market, you go take a nap, like a power nap, like an hour, and then you and I will hop in the car and we'll go get hammer drunk with Dom and our boys down in Milwaukee tomorrow night, and then we'll pour you in an Uber back home to the farm.
I like the way you guys think.
We'd get you in an Uber. You got to pay the bill, Gordy, but we'd pile you in. Buddy, have a great weekend. Have a successful farmer's market. Our pal, Gordy Kopke, the greenhouse open at Kopke's Greenhouses. And you can also find him getting, wearing pants down at the farmer's market. I suspect he'll wear pants. No promises with Dominic. 844.
Never.
967-2789. Dick from Madison. Welcome, Dick. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dick. What's happening?
I don't know, guys. I have a hard time in understanding all this stuff with Trump. You have a two-time loser as a presidential candidate. I mean, he lost the first time, if not for the Electoral College.
Well, if that's a criterion, technically Joe Biden dropped out twice before he won.
Okay. And then he loses 61 of 62 cases in the court system with people, many of whom he appointed. The majority of people he endorses lose. He drug out all kinds of people to the border in 2018 for just nonsense. And these people still are following this. Let him just lead them off the cliff. That's where I'm at. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, this guy, when these midterms are going on this spring here, and many of his anointed candidates are going to lose miserably, I just don't see him being this big thing this fall.
Yeah, but tell that to Tim Michaels, who went to Mar-a-Lago, to Rantham, who's dying to get Trump's endorsement, to Becky Clayfish, who's full rigged election, big lie Becky now. I mean, obviously, he is influential to all the candidates.
Dick, 69%, Dick, 69% of Republicans want Trump to run again.
Run, Trump, run.
All of the above. What? When? These people lose in these primary elections this spring. Are you still going to double down on the stupidity?
No, you'd have to ask the voters of Georgia right now. I appreciate your call, Dick. Thanks for listening. Brian Kemp, the current incumbent governor of Georgia, and apparently Trump's opposed to him, so Trump went and endorsed David Perdue. I saw Steve Bannon blurting out, how could David Perdue be trailing by 27 points. So the Trump endorsement has the candidate trailing by 27 in a Republican primary.
Yeah, it is perplexing, Dick. And let's not forget he lost the House and the Senate too. So in one term, impeached twice, lost the Congress, and you know, coordinated an insurrection, a seditious conspiracy against the United States government, for which he has yet to be held accountable. But hopefully that will come soon enough. Go ahead, Curtie.
Well, I had just seen some new polling. You talked about 69% of Republicans want to see Trump jump back in and run for re-election. But 54% of the broader electorate don't want Trump to run again. The only thing scarier than that number, 63% don't want Joe Biden to run again.
Hey, come on, let's get some younger folks up in here. Crudy, on you talked about Georgia. The AP is reporting today, Trump election probe in Georgia, two-seat special grand jury. A little bit from the AP, the investigation into potential attempts to influence the 2020 general election. You know, potential attempts. Like, hey, I only need how many votes, Crudy?
11,781, I believe.
Fannie Willis asked the chief judge in the county superior court in January to impanel a special grand jury. She wrote in a letter that her office had information indicating a reasonable probability of possible criminal disruptions to the administration of that election. The chief judge's order says the special grand jury is to be seated, for a period of up to a year beginning Monday. And unlike a regular grand jury, which hears many different cases and can issue indictments, a special grand jury focuses on investigating a single topic and produces a report on its findings. The district attorney then decides whether to seek an indictment from a regular grand jury.
Well, Dominic, the flip side of that headline, and I've been right the entire time, the Manhattan DA, the grand jury there, well, it closed with no indictments. So I have been right the entire time. There will be, and I'm not happy or pleased about this fact, but there will be no indictments coming out of the Manhattan DA's office. Apparently, Alvin Bragg has allowed the grand jury to convene and close, and there are no indictments. And that's the one I've been saying all along, man. You read too much into a press release.
I think you are
I'm sorry, man. We'll get you reconnected, Dom, right after this short break. Come back with us. More Devils Advocates Radio. You could be a part. Still a little show left here. 844-967-2789. You know, if you got a grievance about something more important than perhaps the Packers draft picks, or less important than the Packers draft picks, let us know. Dial us up. The party, it rolls on. The political party, 844-96-PARTY. We'll be right back.
Everybody wants you.
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Last segment of this Friday happy hour. Join us with your grievances at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, some Trump legal news that might encourage you just a little bit. Donald Trump signed an affidavit submitted to the court today.
Yeah.
Said, you got all the paperwork, man. You know, that's what he claimed. Effectively, I promise to the best of my recollection, sort of Marjorie Taylor Greene style.
I don't remember.
That I've given all the paperwork that I would possibly have on this topic of, you know, inflating the values of my properties, et cetera, et cetera. But apparently, the judge didn't buy it. And Trump's still subject to daily contempt and $10,000 a day. I think currently we're at 40 grand. That number will grow, not rapidly, not unless the, VIG kicks in.
Well, we'll see, right? I mean, they have a limited time, and perhaps there'll be some escalators from the Attorney General. Furthermore, according to the ruling here, the judge's ruling said. From ABC News. Here's what the judge said to the attorneys for Trump. The affirmations submitted by counsel for Mr. Trump are insufficient in that they fail to specify who searched for each respective request, at what time, where, and using what search protocols.
Did they check the Trump septic tank?
It is not sufficient simply to attach a list of people who participated in the searches. Furthermore, Mr. Trump's personal affidavit fails to state where he kept his files, how his files were stored in the regular course of business, who had access to such files, and importantly, where he believes such files are currently located.
He didn't get
you still have to pay. He got slapped down and very specifically told what he has to do. But, of course, he has the documents, and if he gives them over, he's going to be probably in a world of hurt.
Well, I bet he's using the James Bopp Gableman policy of just, you know, deleting the irrelevant ones.
You're right.
844-967-2789. A few more Friday grievances if you dial right now. Be like Wisco Paul. Welcome back, Wisco. What do you got for us?
Hey, Paulie.
Hey, I still got a grievance that's been ongoing for like 3 weeks, but Trump tells the boss what to do, so then I got to pay, or all taxpayers got to pay for Gableman. It looks like the only thing he's doing is eating good. I mean, I'm just so fed up with this stuff. It's just, what happened to Wisconsin? Yeah, I got one other quick thing. Are you two people going across for the... convention and
I will be in La Crosse for the Democratic Party of Wisconsin convention. I will be broadcasting live, I believe, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, Paul. And Dom is otherwise detained at other parties.
I have other obligations, unfortunately, that weekend, Paulie.
Well, I'm if something goes crazy, I'll be up there, so I'll be looking up Cootie. So,
what do you mean, hey, if something goes crazy? If you show up in La Crosse in my old stomping grounds, that's where the crazy is going to be at, Paul. You want to have a hell of a good time? You come see me.
Aye, aye. And you guys both have a great weekend, all right?
Certainly intend to, Paul. Especially tomorrow, I plan on being hammer drunk.
Why do you keep saying that, man?
Because I plan on being hammer drunk.
I mean, can't you just, you know, hang out, you know, and just naturally let it get occur that way? You finally, it's not like you like purposefully want to do nothing but jump into a bottle. And I'm a little concerned about you, Crudy. I mean, you could just, you know, sip on a Captain and Coke for hours and hours and hours and drink some water.
No, because your ice melts and then it gets all watered down. It gets all... No, man, you gotta
change your drink, man. Grow up. Get a man's drink, Crudy.
Oh, says the man that drinks three fingers of either brown liquor or tequila at room temperature, and you're gonna chastise me for my drinking habits? Kiss my butt.
Oh, hell, Crudy. All right, I want to throw this one out there. Our guy Bernie Sanders, Vanity Fair reporting. Here's a little bit that I want to throw out there. Unionization, I don't know if you have seen this recently, but Starbucks has had some unionization.
Seen a man, I've had the fine guest on the radio show from the first unionized Starbucks in Madison, and they answered the call, and they came on the show, and for the very same reason, that's why I got to do Foxy News.
I actually take offense to you comparing what we do to Fox News. But if you think that's an apt comparison, Crudy, I'll let you live with it, man.
Come on, man. I'm just saying we ask interview guests to come on, and they often accommodate. And when
Crudy,
I'm asked,
would you go on InfoWars with Alex Jones?
Depends,
you know,
man.
I mean, who wouldn't?
Can
you
we
go
have
on
trial
air?
By combat at the end
who
of the show?
Who wouldn't you go on the air with, man? You keep bringing. I don't understand.
I feel prepared.
Is there anybody you'd say no to?
Probably Alex Jones, just because he's not credible.
Why?
But because he's not credible.
And Fox News is credible.
We'll see how the defamation suits work out for Dominion Software.
What are you talking about? You see the reporting. You see how Sean Hannity's in bed with this administration. You see how Maria Bartiromo is, you know, giving all this away. You see, you know, Sean Hannity on stage with Trump. You see. And if you're going to say Alex Jones is not reputable, then certainly Fox News is not reputable. But you're going to go on Fox News, but not Alex Jones.
I didn't hear Fox News deny that Sandy Hook existed or happened. As far as I can tell, there were no Fox News commentators at the Willard Hotel. Alex Jones has been credibly accused of being part of the insurrection on January 6th. So would I tread lightly on an invitation from Steve Bannon or Alex Jones? Yeah, probably. I wouldn't really want to be targeted for violence if they did have me on the shows.
You think?
Because, you know, if I start boxing there
right now by the voting machine companies for billions of dollars right now as we speak, right? Isn't that part of the conversation for the anti-Biden people? I mean, they promoted this, Crudy. They put it out there. You tell me that they're any more reputable than what Alex Jones is putting out there?
Yes, slightly. Just a skosh more.
And that skosh more is enough for you to go out and join them and be a part of that circus.
Why would I be afraid to have conversations with audiences of the other side?
Do it. I know you would. Because they are not a reputable organization. You rip on them all the time. If you actually believe that they should not exist, you should not further their viewership by appearing on the shows.
How do you know I'm not planning on going on Fox News and pull it a full Amber Heard right in the Foxy News bed?
Because you've been on Fox News a few times, and you haven't done that yet.
Well, yet being the key and active word here.
All right, let me just throw this one out there before you interrupt me some more. Yes, Starbucks, they have some unionization going on. Oak Creek, Wisconsin, they just have one as well. Here's what Bernie says. As Biden's sweeping legislative agenda looks stalled, the Democrats searching for a winning electoral message in the upcoming midterms, it is time for the party to embrace what he has long been arguing for and make backing unions a core part of their pitch to the voters. They must decide, Sanders said, whether to become the party which stands for the working class of this country or to remain a corporately controlled party beholden to their wealthy campaign contributors and the corporate media as well. To turn your back on the working class in general is political suicide. It is good politics to become strongly involved with the labor movement.
Want to thank our fine guest, Ben Wickler. You're right. I won't pull an Amber Heard on Fox News because the only standard we've ever upheld is don't crap the bed.
Don't crap the bed ever, man.
Thank you for listening. Fox News, 1220 Central Time. Crudy will be on there.